Recently, I was reading about classical Greek religion. I'm sure you're familiar with some of the names of the 12 most important gods. Zeus, the king of the gods, Hera, his wife, who was also the queen of the gods, Poseidon, the god of the sea, Athena, the goddess of wisdom and war, Hades, the god of the underworld, and more. When comparing Greek religion to Christianity, there are some similarities, but especially a number of important differences. And one difference in particular that I want to highlight that proves that there is no God like our God. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. The ancient Greeks believe in a pantheon of gods. According to classical Greek religion, the main principle underlying the relationship between human beings and the divine was the idea of reciprocity. The gods supported humans who paid them honor and who avoided offending them. Individuals and communities paid honor to the gods to thank them for blessings and to receive blessings in return. To gain the favor of the gods, they would build public sanctuaries, erect beautiful and massive monuments, offer sacrifices, and hold festivals with songs, dances, processions, and prayers. They did elaborate celebrations and sacrifices to appease the gods and to hopefully receive blessings in return. If the human beings angered the gods might punish them by sending calamities such as famines, earthquakes, disease, or defeat in war. The problem was that it was difficult for human beings to anticipate what specific actions may make one or more of the gods angry. There were some social moral codes that they knew they needed to follow, such as providing hospitality for strangers and giving family members a proper burial, and murder was worthy of punishment. But if something went wrong in their lives and there was no obvious reason why, the people would consult oracles, analyze dreams, perform divination rituals, and study the prophecies of seers to seek clues as to what they may have done to anger the gods. They could make the gods angry by forgetting a sacrifice, blasphemy, failing to keep a vow to pay an honor to a particular god, or violating the sanctity of a temple area. If someone was experiencing serious troubles, they believed it was an indication of divine anger, and they would then offer sacrifices to appease the gods. The Greeks believed their gods lived easy lives, exposed to pain sometimes in their dealings with one another, or sometimes they may be sad at the misfortunes of favored humans. But the gods were essentially carefree in their immense power and immortality. They were always alert to insults to their honor, and they were envious sometimes of human success. In addition to the cults of the 12 Olympian gods, Greek religion included other activities. For example, by the 5th century BC, nearly everyone consulted seers about the meanings of dreams and omens, and they sought out magicians for spells to improve their love lives or curses to harm their enemies. There were hero cults in which rituals were performed at the tomb of a man or a woman, usually from the distant past, whose remains were thought to retain special power. There was the cult of Demeter and Persephone, and the central rite of this cult was called the Mysteries, a series of ceremonies of initiation into the secret knowledge of the cult. The initiates expected to fare better in their lives on earth and this is highly significant for the ancient Greeks' view of the afterlife, they were also promised a better fate after death. And there were other mystery cults that were also concerned with what would happen after death. These mystery cults were supposed to provide protection in daily life from ghosts, illness, poverty, shipwrecks, and other dangers, but only as a reward for appropriate conduct. On a simplistic level, there are some similarities between classical Greek religion and Christianity, and I'll name just a few of them. For example, both have a belief in a divine realm, and divinity interacts with humanity. God and the Greek gods can control weather and rule the seas. Both offer explanations for things like creation, the presence of evil, and suffering. Both expect to be treated with honor and respect, and expect sacrifice. They empower humanity to accomplish their will. Some of the Greek gods can become human, and Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. However, there are key differences between God and the gods of the classical Greek religion. And the most obvious one is that the Greek gods were mythological and God is real. In fact, Jesus' life can be proven historically. Humans created the Greek gods, but God created humans in his own image. The Greek gods were like superheroes, but with human-like frailties and failures, whereas God is holy and perfect. Even God manifest in the flesh still remained pure and without sin. The Greek gods were fickle, capricious, and selfish, but God is long-suffering, merciful, and unchanging. The Greek gods treated humans as objects to be manipulated for their amusement or their own purposes. But God wants a relationship with people. And in fact, I think this is, to me, the most profound difference. The Greek gods didn't love human beings, except perhaps they may have had a favorite human, or they may have taken an earthly lover in the mythological stories. But God loves us. Worship to the Greek gods was transactional, sacrifices to appease, bribe, or earn favor. The relationship was fear-based, not love-based. While we are supposed to have a healthy fear of the Lord because it is the beginning of wisdom, God demonstrates selfless love time and again, and calls his followers to be transformed and live holy lives like him. Unlike the Greek gods who manipulated humans, God is a father to us. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God," or the children of God. 1 John 4:16 tells us, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." The Greek gods were self-serving. They didn't have any type of unified mission or purpose, but God has a clear mission centered on love and redemption. He provides a path for reconciliation and salvation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And unlike the Greek gods that had to be bribed and appeased, God loved us first and sacrificed for humans. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." For the ancient Greeks who heard the message of the gospel from Paul and others, can you imagine the stark contrast between their pantheon and our God? The Greeks served selfish gods who had to be bribed to bless them. They were fearful of displeasing the gods and had to make constant efforts to appease them. There was no relationship, and there was certainly no love. the Greek gods didn't love the people. And the Greeks of the classical age had no expectation that they would achieve paradise at some future time when evil forces would finally be vanquished forever through divine love. But we have that promise, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He is long-suffering because he does not want any to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance because of his great love for us. God doesn't demand appeasement. He offers redemption. The Greek gods were immortal, so they could be temporarily wounded or subdued, but none died voluntarily on a cross and rose from the dead, conquering death once for all to offer eternal life. The Greek gods represented a magnification of human flaws. None offered their spirit to dwell within people, to transform them, and to help them live a righteous, overcoming life. Jesus came to serve and save humanity, offering forgiveness and eternal life. God's incredible, amazing love for us is unchanging, steady, and strong enough to carry us through any storm. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, Paul encourages us, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I know that you know that God is unique and special, but hopefully today's episode offers a quick reminder that there is no God like our God. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.